T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Welcome into the program on the WadeFord.com hotline. Our friend Dave Archer. Morning to you, Dave.
How are you guys doing?
Not bad, Dave. Just still trying to honestly try to digest this game and you know, as always, try to pick something positive out of this. But Dave, when you see this game, how did it play out to you? Because, you know, we're trying to figure out, you know, it wasn't a bad game, but it just they didn't win. So how did it play out to you? Why was the outcome what it was?
Well, I thought Hugh were going to have a tough time blocking him up front. This is an active front. We knew that the two edge guys could create some problems. So you're going to have to control the interior two defenders to allow Ryan to throw the ball and to get some traction in the ground game. And that was very inconsistent. I thought that was the first and foremost was what stuck out in my mind, is that you had a tough time, you know, blocking him. And so interiorly, the reason that's a problem, we've talked about this before, Ryan's not a guy that's going to scramble out of the pocket and do a bunch of stuff unless he can skate forward and slide through. So if he gets interior push, now there's a problem because he's going backwards. He's just not a fleet of foot. He's not going to outrun anybody. And it puts him in an unsettled, uncomfortable situation. And I don't think he ever got settled or comfortable. But with all that being said, there were still plays that were made. I mean, the first play of the game, Ryan throws the ball to Julio Jones, and yes, it's right kind of helmet high or just a tad above helmet high. Ball goes right through his hands. If he catches that ball, he may score on the opening play of the game. Muhammad dropped one that went right through his hands, and then Ryan missed a couple over the middle where he had some interior push and didn't step into his throws. So we kind of got back to what was plaguing the team in the early 5 or 6 games, was the inconsistency to make the plays when you had the opportunity. When you got a good team like this, those opportunities are going to be, you know, few and far between. So you have to make them when you have the opportunity. And it was just kind of I thought that they started to make some of those in the second half, but again, it was just inconsistent, and I thought that was what plagued the offense. You give up 14 points on defense, you're supposed to win.
Dave Archer joining John and Hugh. Falcons Monday brought to you by Xfinity. When it comes to the entertainment you love, X1 gives you more. Change the way you experience TV with Xfinity X1. What happened to this team? I know you're talking about, look, and Hugh's right. Early in the show, he says, give Minnesota credit, that defense played well. They did. But what happened to this kind of free-flowing, you know, you had Dallas, you had Seattle, you had Tampa, you were running Wildcat, you're throwing plays, you're running jet sweeps, and all of a sudden you kind of just get conservative, you decide to go for it, a field goal and with 5 minutes to go. What happened to that freewheeling team?
Well, I don't think they got conservative, John. I just think that this is a better defense. This is one of the elite defenses in the league. Those other teams you just mentioned are teams that are going to be watching the playoffs from home. This is one of the teams that's playing at a high level. So the premium on incrementally moving the ball down the field was going to be difficult. So that meant your execution, that meant your attention to detail was going to have to be at the highest level. If you want to beat the best teams, you got to do the things you're supposed to do in key moments, and they didn't do any of that.
So Dave, I mean, you played a quarterback position, and it pains me to ask you this, but I think I have to. Case Keenum yesterday, 25 for 30. Do I have to now say that Case Keenum is a pretty good quarterback?
Yeah, I think in their system, Hugh, you do. I think he's now completed what he came into the game over his last three, completed 71% of his balls, didn't do anything to take a step backward yesterday. I think he went perfect in the second half. And part of that for us is some of it was being banged up in the secondary, but we're just not playing tight coverage. It's a softer coverage. We're trying to get pressure in his face and try to move him off his spot, which I thought we did some of that yesterday in the first half. Didn't do enough of it in the second half. And then just the inability to be close. And How many times did you see a Viking receiver catch a ball with a defender draped on his back or right there making a tough contested catch? We just didn't do any of that. We weren't tight in coverage. And so I thought that made it easy on him. And they took advantage of some of the from the miscues Atlanta had in the secondary because they were playing some guys. You know, Ricardo had to come down and play nickel. You had Liddy Ray Wilson playing one of the corners. Casey, the rookie, was playing in the back end at safety in the nickel set, and they made some mistakes back there.
Talking with Dave Archer as we break down the Falcons' loss and what's ahead. We'll talk about Thursday in a moment. And to that question about the coverage, I mean, are the Falcons just so concerned about giving up big plays and getting, you know, those big explosive plays over the top that they play so soft when it comes to the underneath routes, or it seems that way? Because there are two things that are true. One is all those guys are wide open, A, and B, you're not getting any turnovers. You're not forcing anything.
Yeah, I mean, it's part of it, John. But when you look at it, their key was their success on first down really dictated how the game went for Atlanta defensively. I thought really in the second half they were very good on first down. So it was second and four. It was, you know, third and two, third and one. They stayed on schedule extremely well. And this was a Minnesota team that came in. I think that's how they kind of played all. They've played all year long. They've done an outstanding job of staying on schedule. So you had to try to find a way to disrupt that. And I don't know whether it's different play calls or whether the guys are playing. This is kind of the way Atlanta's played defensively all year. But again, when you only give up 14 points, now you weren't able to get off the field. So you're on the field for 34 minutes as a defense, and still you only gave up 14 points. Pretty good effort to, you know, bend your back but then not break. The offense has to take advantage of their opportunities, and Atlanta moved the ball pretty successfully through the game, but got down into Minnesota's territory around the 40, 35-yard line, and then something would happen. You had a penalty, you had a drop pass, you had a negative run play, and all of a sudden you're off schedule now against a team that's really good on third down. That was the best defense in the league on third down, and they showed it yesterday.
And not only that, Dave, if you look at some of the penalties early in the game that you shot yourself in the foot with, I think it was like six penalties against the defense, and you still only give up 14 points. That's why when I look at this game, it just leaves you scratching your head. But moving forward, you know, you got the Saints coming up, and, you know, you look at the rest of the game that you got to run. Realistically, do you think that this team, I mean, if they take care of their business with everything that's going on around them, that they can still make the playoffs?
Well, you're going to probably have to win the rest of them. Hugh, and so can they win the last four games? I think they're very capable of doing it, but they can't have the inconsistent lapses that they have in games, and that's been the thing that's plagued them all year long, is there's these inconsistencies in, okay, well, this series, it's not like they say this, but it almost feels like, okay, this series isn't that important, we'll get it back the next series, and I don't think they're not good enough to do that. I mean, they were good enough last year that was okay. We can go three and out because the next time we'll have an explosive play for a touchdown. Mm-hmm. That's the way the offense played last year. That's not the way they're playing this year. So the consistencies have to be much more consistent on offense and move the ball every time they get it and find a way to get points on the board because they haven't been as explosive as they were a year ago. So can't have the inconsistent lapses or they're not going to win. But I think they have to win the last four.
Well, you know, to that point, I mean, they made a point of against Tampa, make sure they target, you know, Julio as many times as they could. And, of course, he had the 253 yards. But yesterday, they just didn't target him. I mean, is at some point, don't you try and force it to him, try and give it to him on a jet sweep, try and get it in his hands somehow?
Well, you'd like to think so. I mean, he was targeted six times. I think he was the most targeted player that you threw the ball to yesterday. He only caught two. He dropped one. He had another one that would have been a big play on third down that he wasn't able to squeeze. I mean, it wasn't Xavier Rhodes. It was just, you know, you got to give their front seven some credit, their front four especially credit, because when you can get pressure on the quarterback with only four rushers, that creates indecision, creates a situation where you got to hold the football. But you'd like to think you'd be able to find some way to get him the ball. We tried a couple of little quick throws. He made a really good catch on third down and actually ran through two tacklers to get a first down. but it just was really hard yesterday. You know, when things came really easy a week before, this was a game where it just felt like you're getting your teeth pulled every time you had the ball, and we kind of played that way.
Dave Archer joining us this morning. This portion of the show brought to you by McDonald's. The Dollar Menu is back for breakfast at McDonald's. You can get a McChicken biscuit, a sausage McMuffin, only a dollar right now at McDonald's. As we talk about the Falcons' loss to the Minnesota Vikings and turn our attention to Drew Brees, Stinky Town, Swamp People coming into town on Thursday night. Quick turnaround here in a must-win. You're right, all four must-wins. And you have to play four division games, and here comes this New Orleans team fresh off another win last night when they beat up on the Carolina Panthers. And it's not Drew Brees you suddenly have to worry about. Apparently, Dave, it's Alvin Kamara, and Ingram and Kamara are lighting it up.
Yeah, when you look at their team that won the Super Bowl, what, back in 09, they were in the top 10 in rushing and passing the ball, and that's what they're doing right now. Defensively, they're a little bit different in the fact that they're stopping people, but not necessarily taking the ball away. If you go back to that 09 team, they took the ball away, and I think they scored like 8 or 9 defensive touchdowns that year. This year, they're just doing a good job of winning on third down, getting you off the field, keeping you out of the end zone. So it'll be interesting to watch them. I have not looked a lot of tape on New Orleans, and I pay a lot of attention to them, so I'll do that over the next couple of days. But certainly the two running backs are playing well, and Kamara has been a shot in the arm. It's been what they've needed over the last couple of years. After losing Darren Sproles, they didn't have that someone in the backfield that could run it and catch it the way Kamara's doing, and he's kind of given Brees that feeling back that he's got that guy that's that safety valve, that guy can get it to in one-on-one matchups that nobody can defend.
I tell you what, Dave, the one thing that I saw watching him yesterday, Mark Egan looked pretty fast. I don't remember him being that fast, but he looks faster.
Well, I mean, I think Ingram's been a solid back. He's been kind of lost in the shuffle a little bit, Hugh, because it's really kind of been Drew Brees' team because they're a throwing team.
Mm-hmm.
But Ingram is a guy that's been kind of been waiting for his opportunity to carry the ball, and I think they're leaning on the run game a little bit more. Their offensive line seems to be much more tooled at running the ball as opposed to pass protection. But I think they're still dangerous in the pass game as well. But, yeah, number one priority, Hugh, will be to stop the run, just like it always is. You guys – and that defensive front, know that that's where it starts. You got to try to make a team one-dimensional. Can we take away the run game and make Brees have to throw it in difficult situations?
And, of course, we'll have to see here with a quick turnaround what the status of guys like Dez Trufant and Brian Poole are for this game on Thursday night. Hopefully you can get those guys back. For the most part, the Falcons are fairly healthy. There's some concern about Andrew Levitre at left guard. But for the most part, the Falcons are healthy. And now, must win. You got to beat your rivals. Got to beat them, Dave.
Yeah, you're going to have to win the rest of them, John. I think that's kind of where you're at now. You've given away a few games away, and what's really strange is losing at home.
Right.
Atlanta's lost 3 games at home. The Miami, the Buffalo game, and this one are games that kind of are kind of banging on you a little bit. You probably should have taken care of business in those games. You'd be sitting in a better position.
You'd be at 10-2 and be Minnesota, right, the number one seed at the moment. Thanks, Dave. Do appreciate.
You're the
okay,
man,
guys,
Dave.
See you.
Right, if you hold serve at home, Miami, Buffalo, and yesterday, make a play. You lose by one possession in every one of those games. Or by 3, by 6, and by 5. Oh, man.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s. And each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.